Put your hands together and say, bless the preacher.
Come on, somebody clap your hands to the Lord like you know he's done something for you. Oh, come on, there's some folks that go to a concert that clap louder than that. There's some of you go to a ball game that clap louder than that. Why don't you clap like he's done something for you? Hallelujah. It feels good in the house. It feels good in the house. Anybody come to get something from God before you leave here today? Listen, it doesn't take everybody. I just need two or three that'll get together and say, we've come here expecting that when we walk out, we're going to be different than when we came in. It's not about the music. It's not about the singing. It's not about the building. It's all about Jesus. When I come in contact with him, something is going to happen. Amen. We have invited his presence here, and we are so thankful to be here in the house of the Lord here today. To Pastor and Sister Kyle, I appreciate them so very, very much. It's such an honor to be here. And he told me last night, let me know he wasn't even going to be here this morning. I said, appreciate that. I love the support of my pastor. It's just wonderful. I want us to go before the Lord in prayer here this morning, and we're going to pray, and then we're going to get started. I have a few little introductions and want to say thank you to everybody, but then I want to get into preaching because there's a big clock back there on the wall, and it looks like we're already ready, so it shouldn't take much. I'm just going to ask you if you'll put as much into it, the preaching, as you have the worship. It'll be all right. It's all about what you put into it, what you're going to get out. Before we pray, there was a little boy. His name was Johnny. He was at Sunday school class, and his teacher began teaching. And they began teaching about how God created everything, and he was comfortable with watching what was happening and listening to the teaching. But he really got intrigued at the point when the teacher said that God created Eve and did so from taking a rib from Adam. And that really intrigued little Johnny. He just couldn't believe that that would happen. And he was amazed by the story. And as he went home and he had told his mom a little bit about what had happened, but just a few weeks later, Johnny got sick. Well, Johnny's laying up in his bed and he's holding his side really bad. And his mama comes in and she said, Johnny, what's wrong with you? And he said, I just don't feel good. She said, well, what's going on? He said, I feel like I'm about to have a wife. So it's all what you put into it, what you're going to get out of it. Let's pray and ask God to touch us here. Lord, we love you today, God, and we thank you. God, we thank you for your presence, Lord, that we feel here today. God, the power and the anointing, God, I feel, Lord, that you've already spoken to me. God, spoken to my heart. And God, we're going to deliver your anointed word today. And as we have worshiped and magnified you, God, we're asking, Lord, that you will respond in kind. Lord, let your presence be shown here. God, we're calling on a demonstration in this house before we leave here today. God, I ask you early this morning, God, for a demonstration. Not just good church, but God, a demonstration of the power and the authority of the name of Jesus. And God, we believe and trust, God, that's what's going to happen in the name of Jesus. Everybody shout in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. We've been singing about Jesus for the last several minutes. And just in case you were wondering, the devil trembles when he hears that name. So he's scared right now. Amen. What an honor it is to be here today. I wish that my family could be here with me this morning, and I know that you do too. That's what I heard anyway yesterday by most people. And I appreciate you allowing us to be here today. And I didn't bring my family, but I brought my baby brother with me, and he's here with me this morning. And I got to feeling here just a little bit ago like one of them important evangelists. You know, I have an armor bearer, and brother comes up to me, and he says, Brother Cornelius, he said, I heard that you were a youth pastor here many years ago. I said, I'm about to get tired of this many years ago business. And then Mother Sapp has to get up here and say, ageless. And some of you remember Davina. How many remember Davina? Those of you remember Davina? I saw her at General Conference a few years ago, and she runs up and hugs my neck. Brother Cornelius, this, and there's some others that were with her. And, oh, she was just talking and how much she appreciated me and what we had done in her life when we were youth pastors and blah, 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 going on, building me up. I mean, just building me up. My head got about this big, and then all of a sudden she said, Brother Cornelius, you're just historic. And that let all the air out of it, and I said, dinosaurs are historic, honey, not me. But it's so good to be here today. What a beautiful home-going celebration we had yesterday for Sister Peggy Hansen. What a beautiful. I've already spoke that long. I done worked out the microphone. Beautiful service. It was a blessing to be able to come home and reconnect with some familiar faces that are here this morning, and so thankful for the opportunity again to be here. It's a blessing. Why don't I just keep this one? I'm just kidding. It's a blessing to be here. So thankful for this great church. How many of you are thankful for a great church? Amen. The commitment to the kingdom of God and everything that you do, the excellency that's demonstrated in everything is a direct reflection on great leadership of this assembly. How many of you are thankful for a great pastor and pastor's wife? Amen. That's all right. Mother Sapp and all of the ministry staff that are here, tremendous job of supporting pastor and family. It's all right. Give your ministry team a hand. Let me just tell you, it takes a team, because you'll never achieve the level of impact in this community that God wants you to have or intends for you to have if you're just one-dimensional. It won't happen. You've got to spread that foundation. You've got to make the foundation strong, always expanding it in order to build the lighthouse that God intends for us to be in the last days. And so I believe with everything in me that God is going to touch us here this morning before we leave here. And now, if you're a guest here today, we are honored to have you here. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule to be with us today. We are so honored. If you don't like it today, just come back next week. Pastor will be here, and everything will be all right. If you don't like, what was the cheering about that for? I ain't even started yet. Goodness. Come back and hear Pastor next week, I guess. I don't know. Maybe he's preaching, maybe he's not, but come back and hear him. I'm going to talk to you about something today that I have felt ever since Pastor Kyle asked me to speak here today. I preached this a few weeks ago in our home church, and I had the same feeling when he said that to me now as I did then when I felt like God had given me that message. And I can assure you it won't be exactly the same, because I discovered this morning I didn't have any notes. And that can be dangerous. But we know that God is going to touch us here today before we leave. I believe that we are going to have a tremendous move of God. We did that weekend when we preached, and we believe that it's going to happen here again today, not because of me, but because His Word is anointed. And when you speak anointed Word, God will touch and God will respond. And I believe before we leave here today that there's going to be healing, there's going to be deliverance, there's going to be strengthening. I believe the Holy Ghost is going to fall. I believe the Holy Ghost is going to move. I saw a baptismal tank outside the building here somewhere, and I believe before we leave here, somebody's going to get in it. I just believe it. It's not me, it's God. It's not my words, it's His Word. It's not my reputation on the line, it's His reputation that's on the line. And what a tremendous reputation He has. When you get God involved, something's going to happen. Has anybody ever been healed or delivered or strengthened or touched? Come on, how good is God? How awesome is God? How great is God? There's a testimony on my lips of what God can do. If He's done it before, He'll absolutely do it again. What you put into it, you're going to get back, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So we believe that God is going to touch us. Let me go to some scripture here this morning, and I want you just to kind of keep your Bibles out. I'm going to move around a little bit in scripture here today, and then we're going to have God just move in this place. We're going to ask Him to touch. I was praying early this morning, and I was walking around the parking lot at the hotel, and I just said, God, I just want You to demonstrate today. That's all I'm asking. The Word we have to have, we got to have good teaching. I'm just telling you, as an apostolic church, we have to have apostolic teaching. Anybody thankful for apostolic teaching? Amen. But I'm just going to tell you, apostolic teaching doesn't do it alone. We need a demonstration of what we've been teaching. If we said God is able, then we ought to expect that God's going to do it. If we said God can touch, then we ought to expect that God's going to touch. Come on, somebody. I don't want to just show up to church and hear somebody tell me how God can heal me. I want to get up and touch the hem of his garment and let God heal me. I want to have God touch me before I leave here today. Matthew chapter 14. I've got several scriptures. You can stand if you like, but you'll probably be standing most of the service, but that's all right. So will I. Matthew chapter 14. I was just teasing. You didn't have to get up. Matthew 14 and 22, it says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side." Everybody say the other side. "While he sent the multitudes away." Now, I'm going to start right there. Thank you for standing. You can be seated, but I got a lesson already, and you can leave that first scripture up if you want to. We're going to move through some of these, but there's a lesson in the first scripture this morning that I want you to understand. The first lesson this morning is that you need to trust God. Because if you don't trust God, I promise you there's nothing that's going to take place here today. You have got to trust God. If God has made you a promise, he will keep it. It hasn't happened yet, preacher. That's all right. God will come through. He may not come when you expect him, but I promise you, he's never been late. He'll always show up on time. And so you need to trust God. Here's the problem. We give the devil way too much credit. We give him way too much credit that he's robbing our promises. Maybe it's just that we're not standing on the promises that God has made us. It's not the devil stealing them. It's us got off of them. We're not getting back on the promises like God told us. If he said he's going to bring you out, he's going to bring you out. If he said we're going to cross over, we're going to cross over. Somebody ought to begin trusting in God again. I'm just going to tell you, I am not a fan. And if you sing it here, you just have to apologize. I apologize up front, but I'm not a fan of the song, "He's Never Failed Me Yet." I'm just telling you, I'm not a fan of the song. Because what it tells me is while I'm singing, "He's Never Failed Me Yet," that means there's an expectation in the back of my mind that one day he might not show up. That one day when I'm in the middle of my trial, I'm in the middle of my storm, he just might not show up. So if you liked it, you don't like it no more. It's as if we're almost waiting on God to fail. I want you to understand something before we move any further into scripture today. I serve a God who has not failed, will not fail. You need to quit letting the adversary lie to you this morning and tell you that God's forgotten about you and God doesn't know where you're at and God doesn't see what you're going through. You need to call the devil what he is, and that's a liar, and stand back on the promise that God said, "I'll bring you out. I'll carry you across. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it." Come on, somebody clap your hands to the Lord. The name of Jesus. Verse 23 said, "And when he sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain apart to pray. When it was evening was come, he was there alone, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary." I want to talk to you. I'd probably give my title too early, but don't wait till he's in the boat. What I'm going to talk to you about for a little bit, you're fixing to find out why here in just a minute. But you can't wait till he gets in the boat before you start lifting him up and worshiping him and magnifying him. They were in the middle of a storm in this process, and it says that they were in this storm and the wind was contrary. We have storms in life. That happens in life. We have storms in life. We have situations that take care that happen in our lives, and we have to understand very closely that when we have storms in our life, they will always be contrary to the promise of God. Every storm is a wind that is contrary to the promise. The reason the storm has come is wanting to see if you're going to make it through the storm or you're going to give up somewhere along the way. You're not going to trust God all the way through the process of the storm. Probably the greater lesson here is that the level of our faith will match the size of our storm.
You probably need to think about that just for a second. My level of faith is going to match the size of my storm. If I've got a big storm in my life, that must mean God trusts me enough. He believes me enough that I got enough faith to make it through that storm. How you know that to be right, preacher? Well, why don't you look at Job? Look at Job. Job had more come against him than any of us could have ever even imagined. But because of his faith in God, God told the adversary, you can go ahead and try him. He's not going to turn his back on me. I know the level of his faith. I know the level of his trust. And when the storms came in, he simply said this, naked I came and naked I'll go. Either way, I still win with Jesus. Even when his wife come in and told him he should curse God and die. He's the only man that's ever gotten away with calling his wife a foolish woman. He said, you talk like a, don't try it, I promise you. He said, you talk like a foolish woman. You need to understand something here today. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Come on. It's not just a scripture. It's a mantra. It's a theme that I call out. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I'm better with Jesus than I've ever been on my own. Just know there are going to be things that are contrary. But remember, it's just a storm. And this too shall pass. This too shall pass. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Now, I'm just going to touch this and go just a little bit here this morning, but there's a message that's locked up in this scripture as well. You need to notice what's here. We ought to be close enough to God to recognize when it's him moving. Sometimes we get too far away. We don't recognize when it's God moving. The disciples in the boat look out on the water in the middle of a storm, and they questioned if it was God or not. I've just been through enough trials. I've just been through enough storms to know that if I see anybody walking on the water, it's not a spirit of some other kind. It's Jesus. It's my God in heaven who has come through to carry me home. Don't get so far away you don't recognize when it's God moving. Don't allow life and its challenges to fog your vision to the point you don't even recognize that it's God walking in the midst of your storm. Because troubles will get us there. Troubles will make things foggy. Trials will make things foggy. We need to make sure we understand it's God walking on the water. It's not the enemy because he can't do it. All right, you're going to help me here in a minute. Listen, I'm trying to get used to, you know, get back in the zone of being, you know, around all this culture because I don't have it at home. I don't have all this culture. And we get up here and start dancing and shouting. And now let me just explain something before you think I don't have church. We have church. All right? The problem is I only got three cultures in my church. They're white, Hispanic, and redneck. That's all I got. And they dance a little different, but it's all right. They still know how to worship. We get enough going on in here, you don't even have rhythm, and you can still get in it with them. I know because I saw it. It's all right. In the midst of the storm. So Peter says in verse 28 of that scripture, Peter answered and said to him, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come on the water. He recognized that if Jesus is in the storm, everything is going to be all right. Peter recognized that if it's Jesus who's walking on the water, then I've got nothing to worry about. I've got nothing to be concerned about. I don't know how. I don't know when. But I promise you this, he's going to take me across. He's going to get me through. Here's what happens. I'm trying to move quick. Here's what happens. You need to understand what happens. And he said, Lord, if it's you, then bid me to come. He recognized it was Jesus. And then verse 29, and he said, speaking of Jesus, come. Everybody say, come. When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked to the water to see Jesus. I want you to understand something about that scripture and what happened there, and I want everybody to look at it very, very closely. The invite that was given when he said come was not given just to Peter individually. Now, Peter's the one who asked, but he didn't say, come, Peter. He didn't say, Peter, you're the only one that recognizes who I am. Why don't you come on and get out of the boat? He didn't individualize Peter. He made a general statement to anybody that was on the boat. He said, come. Anybody that's on the boat, you can come. Everybody had the same invitation.
Oh, come on. You're going to catch this in just a second.
Everybody had the same invite. Everybody could have climbed out and got out of the boat. Everybody on the ship was given the same invitation. And when he said, come, they could have run right past Peter and said, I'm going just like you are. I know my God, and I know what he's able to do, and I'm coming with you.
You need to understand that for a second, because there's some of you, when the word is called come, you're going to sit and not do anything because you think maybe he wasn't talking to me.
Maybe he wasn't talking to me. Maybe he was talking to somebody else. I don't think that word was from me. Let me just tell you and help you just a little bit. Anytime the word comes out, it's for you. Anytime the word gets preached, it's for you. It's not just for somebody next to you. It's for me. I may not need it today, but I just might need it tomorrow. I may not need it right now, but there's a good chance. There's a good chance that there's a storm coming, and I need to grab a hold of a word of God that tells me he's going to see me through.
Here's what I need you to understand. I'm halfway done. Here's what I need you to understand. Matthew chapter 8, a few verses earlier, they were all present and accounted for. Just a few chapters earlier. It says in verse 23, it said of Matthew 8, and when he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. Matthew 4, or Mark 4, gets a little more detailed than Matthew did. He gets a little more detailed, and he says this in Mark 4 and 35. He says, in the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over to the other side. Mark was a little more detailed in his writing, but I need you to understand something and hear me very closely this morning. If he said, let's go to the other side, then I promise you we're going to the other side. Peter remembered what happened when Jesus was sleeping on the boat, when he got up and stood at the bow of the ship and said, peace be still. Peter remembered it. So when he saw him later on walking on the water, he said, just bid me to come on out there, because I know if you can calm the wind and you can calm the wave, you can keep me floating when I get out there.
I don't know if you hear what I'm trying to tell you or not. I need you to understand that if Jesus gave you a promise, you are going to receive that promise. I wish you would understand something here this morning, that if Jesus told you to cross over, if Jesus said, we're going on over to the other side, if Jesus told you we're going over, I promise you, you're going to make it through. It doesn't matter the wind, it doesn't matter the waves, it doesn't matter the storm. If Jesus said we're going over, then we're going over. I don't care how bad the wind gets, if it tears the ship in pieces, you'll be floating on a 2x4, but I promise you, if God said you're going over, you're going over.
Here's the problem, Brother Sapp. All of us want to go over on a cruise ship.
All of us want to ride over on a cruise ship in comfort. Give me something to eat. Let me just cruise on across to the other side. Because if God's on the boat, I shouldn't have any trials. If you don't have any trials, you're not going to trust God. You're going to think you drove it by yourself. You're going to think you got there by yourself. But I'm telling you right now, had it not been for Jesus, where would I be?
If he said, we're going to cross over, then we're going to cross over. Don't lose faith in God because a storm has beat you up.
If he said you're going to the other side, then rest assured you're going to get to the other side. And when you do, and there ought to be a few testimonies in the room right now, when you get to the other side, you're going to turn around and look back at that storm, and you're going to make this statement: he was there all the time. Oh, come on, some of y'all ain't apostolic in here. Some of y'all ain't ever been through anything. Some of y'all never faced a trial. Some of you never faced a storm. But I believe there's some of us in here that knows what it feels like to get beat up by the storm, to get punched around by the storm, and get on the other side and say, you know what? Jesus was there all the time. Come on, clap your hands to the Lord. Is this all right? Everybody doing okay? Everybody's all right. I pick back up in Matthew chapter 8, verse 24. It said, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, and so much that the ship was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. Mark 4, 37. I told you Mark gives a little more clarity to it. He said, there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. It was overflowing inside the boat. And I'm not talking about blessings. There was people grabbing buckets trying to get water out of the boat. It was full. Anybody ever been there before? You felt like everything's going down. Everything's falling apart. Everything's caving in on me. I barely got my head above water. And I'm paddling the best I can just to survive. The boat was full. And Jesus was asleep. The disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us or we perish. It's verse 25 of Matthew. But then Mark in 4 and 38, sorry, sis, I told you I was going to be back and forth. Mark 4 and 38, again, Mark doing a little more clarification, said, and when he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. The other ones didn't even bring mention of the fact that he was asleep on a pillow in the back of the ship. They just said they went down and woke him up. He was asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him up and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Let me put it into context for you. Jesus is in the back of the boat, and he's laid down in the back sleeping. Boy, here, I need some help. Get me some chairs, about four of them right here. And come on, brother, you're going to come right here. I'm going to help you out here for just a second. I tell them they got to keep a prop box around when I'm preaching because I don't know what I'm going to do. There you go. Well, lay them down right there. That's good. Now I want you to lay across them. You're Jesus. Yeah. There you go. Okay. And he's laying on a pillow. I don't have a pillow here. We'll make this be a pillow. There you go. You got a pillow. Okay? So they said Jesus is laying in the back of the ship on a pillow. And made reference, made sure you understood. He's laying on a pillow. Now, I need you to understand why that's important. Because Jesus, in the middle of the ship falling apart and being full of water, is comfortable. Hang on. Y'all don't understand what I'm trying to tell you. What you need to understand is it doesn't matter how bad the storm gets. It doesn't matter how bad the trial is. Jesus has never been nervous. I'm feeling the Holy Ghost in here right now. Jesus has never been scared. He's never been nervous. He's never been worried. The boat's filling up with water. Everybody's bailing out. And Jesus is kicked back on his easy. And so they walk over to him on his pillow, and they said, Jesus, don't you even care that we're going to die? Don't you even care? I didn't even bring a pillow. And you're laid back on a pillow. Don't you even care? And Jesus gets up. Thank you, brother. He gets up from that comfortable place, and you go on into the scriptures. And he simply tells him as he's walking out, in Matthew 8, 26, he says, and he saith unto them, why are you so fearful, little faith? Why are you fearful? Remember what I just told you early on? That the measure of your storm is going to measure your faith? He was almost telling them, this is just a little storm, ye of little faith. This ain't even a big trial. This ain't something God can't handle. This isn't something I can't get you out of. Oh, ye of little faith, this is just a little storm. And he rebuked He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm, and they all marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? Okay? Now, that was earlier. Let me pick back up where I left off in the other story. Let me pick back up where Jesus is walking on the water. Now, realize they all went through that, right? They saw Jesus comfortable in the boat, get up on the front of the boat and say, peace be still. And then it says they all marveled that the wind and the waves listened to him. And then verse 30 says, we pick back up in the original, but when Jesus saw the wind boisterous, or when he saw, Peter saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink, and he cried saying, Lord, save me. And immediately, everybody say immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and he caught him, and he said unto him again, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? It's just a little storm. Why did you doubt me? Again, your faith has the ability to overcome the storm. He didn't ask Peter, watch me, stay with me for a second. He didn't ask Peter, where's your ability? He didn't ask Peter, where's your knowledge? He didn't ask Peter, where's your pedigree? Who's in your background? Who's your daddy? He didn't ask him anything about his background or his pedigree. He didn't even ask him, what's in your bank account? He didn't say, where's your popularity? He didn't say, where is the thing that you feel like is going to carry you through that you can control? He simply looked at him and he said, where is your faith? And why did you doubt me? If I've done it before, I can do it again. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I have not changed. I know it's not in there, but just work with me for a second. I think Jesus might have looked at him and said, don't you remember when you came and woke me up off of my mattress and my pillow in the middle of a storm and I took care of it? Don't you remember? Don't you know I have that same power whether, watch, I'm in the boat or I'm out of the boat? I've got the same power, the same authority, whether I'm in the boat or I'm out of the boat. So then we get to verse 32. He says, and when they were coming to the ship, Jesus and Peter, when they were coming to the ship, what does it say? The wind. So the whole time Peter was out on the waves with him, the wind was still kicking. The water was still raging. The storm was still going on the whole time that he was out in the water with him. That's important. You need to realize. Because when they came in the ship, then everything stopped. Then everything ceased. And then it says in verse 33, then they that were in the ship came and worshiped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Now, here it is. I'm closing. Here it is. The point to the whole message. Don't miss this. If you haven't listened to anything else I've said, listen to this part. Peter met Jesus on the water in the middle of the storm. The other disciples who had the same experiences that Peter had, they were in the same past storms that Peter had been in. They were in the same current storm that Peter was in. And they had received the same invitation that Peter did. You ready? The difference is that Peter trusted in the midst of the storm, while the other disciples waited until the storm was over to recognize who he was. Tuck your feet underneath the chair. Here's where it gets rough. You ready? Don't wait to worship God till he's already gotten in the boat. Don't wait till everything's gotten comfortable before you decide you're going to worship God. Don't wait till the storm is past before you decide to get up and magnify God. I need some folks that'll be like Peter in the house today and say, in the middle of my storm, I'm going to worship. In the middle of my trial, I'm going to magnify. I'm just telling you what I feel in the Holy Ghost. There's some of you in here right now that are going through a storm. I know that's a pretty general statement. We think anybody could do it, but I'm telling you, what I'm talking about is a real storm. In the middle of your mess, you need to worship Him. In the middle of your trial, you need to worship Him. Hang on, here it is. You ready? Some of you need to hear what I'm fixing to tell you. His power is the same whether He's in the boat or whether He's on the water, but is your faith the same? Wow, that was a low blow, preacher. You hit me below the belt with that one. The reality is, His power is the same whether He's on the boat or whether He's in the water. The only variable in that whole story between Peter and the rest of the disciples, the only variable was whose faith believed God could take care of us while we were in the middle of the storm. So let me just say it this way. I think there's a song or something somewhere. I don't remember it, and I don't sing, so don't expect it. Don't wait till the battle is over. Oh, you know that. You know that. Don't wait till the battle is over. So you understand that concept. I'm preaching to some people who understand it. Let me help you with the New Age whatever you want to call it, version. Here it is. Don't wait till the storm is over. Shout right now. But I don't know how I'm getting out of it. It doesn't matter. God knows how you're getting out of it. And if He said we're crossing over, if you're floating on a plank of wood, you're going to make it over. Hang on. Hang on. Quit waiting for it to get easy before you start praising God for the victory. You didn't hear me. Quit waiting till the storm has passed before you start thanking Him for the victory. Get in the middle of the storm and begin to thank Him for what He's going to do. Stand with me. The God that I serve has the power and authority over every storm in your life. The same power that is in Him resides in you if you got the Holy Ghost. So please hear me. Take authority over the storm and know that He is in it with you. Don't let trials cause you to question God. Don't let trials cause you to question God. See, because while you are going through a storm, God will still bless you. As a matter of fact, the Scripture says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against it. We have struggles and we have challenges. We have storms. And I want you to understand something. You don't just have storms here in South Florida. We have storms up in the mountains too. But let me tell you, let me just share a little testimony with you before we watch God demonstrate here in just a second. We've been through some storms. We've had some trials. We've had some situations. Anytime you're trying to grow, trying to do anything for God, the devil don't like it. He's going to fight it. It's just that simple. We've had some struggles. That just lets you know you're doing it right. Listen, if you're not making the devil mad, you're doing something wrong. When he comes at you, oh, this is just extra. It ain't even there. This is extra. When the devil comes to you and starts harassing you, what you need to do instead of saying, oh, the devil's been on my back, praise his holy name. Instead of claiming, oh, the devil's been bothering me, why don't you just get up to one of your brothers and just look at him and say, hey, bro, listen, I want you to dance with me. The devil's been bugging me. I want you to shout with me because the devil's been bugging me. That means I'm doing something right. He ain't going to bother you if you're not a threat to him. So why don't you dance in the middle of the trial? All right, let me get back to it. So we've been having some storms. But I'm going to tell you what God's done in the last 6 months. Okay? Now, we don't live in a big major metropolitan area. Some of you have visited us, and we got about 5,500 people in the city limits. Some of y'all have that in your neighborhood. We got about 18 or 20,000 people in the entire county. And our church has done good. God has blessed us. We run somewhere between 275 and 300 sometimes. And so God's blessed us. But let me just tell you what's happened in the last 6 months. God has sent about six families to us, equivalent to about 30 people. Several of them, just in the last 6 months, have already been baptized. They've already received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Most of all, they're involved in our discipleship classes. They're in Bible studies. That's tremendous. That's tremendous. But most of them, having not ever experienced this before, needs the church body to support them. And I'm just going to, see, I'm not an evangelist, I'm a pastor, so I'm just going to be pastor for a second. My problem that I run into most of the time, Brother Sapp, is not my new people. It's my folks that have been around this for a long time. They're bickering and fighting over position and who gets to do what and who gets the title and who gets this and gets that. The problem is they forgot what it's all about. It ain't about you, it's about him. It's about his kingdom. But just this Thursday and Friday of this week, while I was driving Friday and one of these things happened, but this Thursday and Friday, one lady that we've been working with, or that one of our, actually my sister-in-law has been working with, she works on her job, and she's been questioning some things about what we believe, and so they started a Bible study with her. First week Bible study, she just really, you know, got into it and said, man, this is great. Second week, they got into the book of Acts. Her statement when she got finished was this, the revelation she saw of one God, Jesus' name. She said this. She said, how can any preacher get up and preach anything other than Jesus' name? Said he can't if he's using the Bible. And then she ended up praying. She almost got the Holy Ghost in that Bible study. Almost. Y'all may not celebrate over almost, but I do. Because that just means they're one step closer. I celebrate over almost. But then Friday, we had a lady that came into the office. She has a child in our daycare. She's visited the church a couple of times. Nothing real outstanding. She's come a few times just because. And she comes by the church office for prayer. And she's needing prayer for somebody else. And my wife is there, and the secretary is there, and they begin to pray for her over this situation. And then my wife has just gotten bolder over the years. I don't know if it's being married to me that's done it to her. But she just told her, she said, you know what, we've prayed for that, but why don't we pray for you? Before they got done in the office, she was laying on the floor speaking in tongues. Got the Holy Ghost just coming by the church office. I want you to understand the same God we serve is going to bless you in the middle of your storm. Don't tell me that God's not in the storm with you. Whenever the children of Israel would head into battle, they'd always praise before. While they're in the battle, they had a praise band that was going on while they were in the battle. And when they got finished, they had a praise party. The whole time. Men are fighting, swords are flying, blood slinging, and they are worshiping. Sometimes you might get a little bloody in the battle, but if you're praising through the whole time, don't even worry about it. God will make sure you're victorious. So here's what I need you to understand. It's time that you grab the tambourine. It's time that you begin to praise Him. Get the tambourine out of the tree and start worshiping God. Start magnifying God. Quit dwelling on your problem. Quit dwelling on your trial and start worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Don't wait till the storm is over. Shout now. Don't wait till the battle is over. Shout now. Now, I don't know how y'all do things around here. But it doesn't matter what the storm is. God is in it already. I just need you to know He's already there. So if you need healing this morning, you need deliverance, you need the Holy Ghost, you need strength. If it's disease or addiction or doubt or fear, here's what I'm asking you. Why don't you dance with Jesus on the water a little bit? Let the waves splash. Let the wind blow. But you're not going to rob my praise. Somebody ought to get like Job and say, you know what? There's one thing you can't take away from me. You can take my family. You can take my money. You can take my possessions. You can take my health. But I promise you, you can't take my praise. You can't take my worship. You can't have it because you don't own it no more. I don't know if some of you realize this, but you know Satan was the praise leader before he fell. So he don't get to lead the praise no more. He don't get to lead the worship no more because he's out. We get to lead it now. So here's what I'm going to tell you. I don't know how y'all do this around here. It really don't matter. But I'm just going to tell you, if you need a healing, I believe God will heal today before we leave here. We've had healings taking place the last couple of weeks, even last few months. We've had people getting healed. I just believe God still heals. I don't care what the disease is. God can heal. Brother Sapp, I believe your ministry probably got a little bit of faith in here, don't they? They got some faith, don't they? Because they realize it's not about them, it's about Him. It's not, again, it's not my reputation on the line. If I pray for you and nothing happens, it don't have nothing to do with me. It's got everything to do with Him. It's not my faith, it's your faith. Here's a little test before we pray. How many of you know God is able to heal? How many of you know God is able to deliver? How many of you know God's got the ability to bring you through whatever you're facing? Now, let me explain something to you. Before you get too excited, that's knowledge. That's knowledge. Knowledge doesn't do anything for you unless you're taking a test. Let me tell you what's going to help you. How many of you know that God will deliver you? How many of you know that God will heal you? You know the difference? You just turned your knowledge into faith. You put it into action. You said, I know He can, but not do I just know He can. I know He will. He's going to do it before I leave here today. And so whatever the trial is, whatever the problem is, whatever the storm is, don't wait till He's in the boat to begin to worship. Why don't you worship Him right now? So here's what I want you to do. If you need prayer, I don't care what it's for. If you need the Holy Ghost, you need a healing, you need God to deliver you from something, you got a trial going on in your marriage, your kids are just lost, you got problems there, I don't care what it is. You need God to bless you, you need God to open up a door for a job, I don't care what it is. You understand, it doesn't matter. I want you to line up shoulder to shoulder right across this front, okay? Make sure the ministry knows who it is. And you don't have to say anything to us, but I want you to trust God. Now give us some room to walk in front of you. Give us some room. They're just going to come by and they're going to anoint with the Holy Ghost power and they're going to say in Jesus' name. And God's going to do it. Okay? But here's what I need you to do. If it's a healing, I want you to demonstrate in here. So in other words, if your foot's hurting you and they begin to pray for it, I want you to stomp on that foot. Because it's not going to hurt me no more. If it's a shoulder that's out, I want you to start to worship because it's not going to hurt me no more. Now, before we do this, we got to pray. And we're going to pray a prayer of repentance across this place. Because the first thing I need to do is I need to repent before God. I need to ask God to forgive me. I don't want to treat God like Santa Claus and just come to Him for gifts. I want to surrender myself. Okay? So all across this altar, I want you just to lift your hands. And we're going to pray. We're going to ask God to forgive us all across this altar. You ready? Here we go. I need you praying. In your precious name, Jesus. God, your anointed word has already gone out. God, your word that is anointed, God, has already been spoken. God, I pray right now, God, that you will forgive me, God, of anything that's not like you in my life. Come on, be real in front of him right now. God, I need you to forgive me, God, of any thoughts that I've had. God, any attitudes that I've had. God, anything that's not been like you in my life. God, I need you to forgive me. God, I'm asking you to cleanse me right now. God, wash me right now. Come on, that's all right. Come on, some of you are going to start to speak in tongues before we even get there. Because there's a cleansing in the Holy Ghost. God, I'm asking you to forgive me. God, wash me, cleanse me. I come humbly before you, God. I come humbly before you, God. Asking you to forgive me. In the name of Jesus. Now, keep your hands raised. I'm going to pray this one time. If we can't get to you to put hands on you, this is going to work right here. I promise you, because God doesn't need me to do it. He can do it on his own. Lift your hands in whatever it is. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to speak it right now, what you need God to do. Just speak it. God, I need you to heal me of addiction. God, I need you to heal my body. God, I need you to touch my family, my finance, whatever it is, my marriage. Come on, speak it right now. Here we go. You ready to receive it? Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost already. Come on, I feel it happening already. Here we go. I'm going to pray for you. Ministry's going to move. They're going to start singing. Here we go. Right now, under the authority of the name of Jesus. Under the authority of the name that's above every name. Right now. Right now. I rebuke every adversary. I rebuke every enemy.
In the name of Jesus.
I rebuke every doubt. I rebuke every fear. In the name of Jesus. Right now. Receive it.
Jesus.
Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. In the name of Jesus.
Lift up your hands. Lift up your voice and sing for joy.
I won't turn back now. Is the way that